Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
It's literally happened just moments ago. The Supreme Court has struck down a federal law banning sports betting in almost every state across the country. This was a huge win for New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who tried to legalize gambling in the state of New Jersey, but there was a federal law on the books. It's called the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. It was passed in 1992 that said, no, Congress is the one that gets to decide on behalf of the states whether or not you can legalize sports gambling. And so the governor decided, you know what, I'm going to challenge this in court, because it hadn't been challenged up until his challenge. And the court ruling 7-2, this was not a 5-4 ruling, this was overwhelming, 7-2, saying this federal law oversteps its boundaries. Justice Samuel Alito was the one who delivered the opinion for the court. He took the position that, look, you could regulate, but it's still up to the states. He said, Congress can regulate sports gambling directly, but if it elects not to do so, each state is free to act on its own. Our job is to interpret the law Congress has enacted and decide whether it is consistent with the Constitution. PASPA, it's the name of that bill, is not. PASPA regulates state governments' regulation of their citizens. The Constitution gives Congress no such power. You know who decided to say no to this? You know who dissented?
Who's that?
Progressive sweetheart.
Ruth Bader.
Bader Ginsburg. Or as the kids like to call her, RBS.
No.
It's the name of the documentary.
RGB.
Or whatever. Same thing. This is interesting.
RBG, I think.
Yeah, you're wrong.
You're wrong. You're wronger than me.
You're wronger than the wrongerer person to begin with. This is interesting. I love this. I'm not necessarily a big sports gambler, although I have been known to spend a day or two or seven at a sports bar in, or like the casinos in Vegas. I'll just stay in their little room and I'll watch like 14 different channels of mostly sports I don't care about, but then find the one small TV that has the soccer game on that I'm betting on. I find that kind of stuff fun. If you don't want to gamble, the federal government should allow the states to decide that. If a state wants people to gamble online or in person on games, well, then the state should be able to decide. This is perfectly consistent with the Constitution. And this law from 1992, which I'm surprised no one had challenged up until recently, always was an overstep. And I don't know how many people anticipated that the Supreme Court was going to side with Chris Christie on this. I'm so glad that they did. So now Chris Christie, at least I can credit him with one thing that he did over his tenure as a politician, other than be that guy who took like a small bag of M&Ms and put it in a bigger box of M&Ms, like the slob that he is. You don't remember that? Look up there. Just look up Chris Christie M&Ms online. You'll find exactly what I'm talking about. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
Yeah, I do suddenly want M&Ms. The city of Seattle has decided to hide two homeless encampments from the public. But thanks to some really hard work in this building, including by me and Lindsay Sheldon, my favorite reporter over at Cairo 7, we actually have some more details. Now, I confirmed on Friday after the show was done that one of these tent cities would be tiny homes. The rumor is that they're going to be low barrier shelters, which means anyone can show up, even if they're drug abusers or alcoholics, which is not necessarily what you want in your community. Certainly not in the South Lake Union community, where this one would be smack in the middle of a ton of businesses, right next door to a hotel, tons of restaurants, and tons of high-end apartment complexes. This is almost like a screw you to the Amazon folks. That's what this is probably intended to be. But the problem is, beyond it just not belonging in this particular part of the South Lake Union neighborhood, the problem is, they're not being honest about this. They're not confirming the existence of a plan for this one particular neighborhood. They were asked multiple times over the course of multiple weeks, the city of Seattle, to try to tell us, to try to tell Cairo 7 and Lindsay Sheldon whether or not they were making these plans. They refuse to give us an answer.
When I emailed the city's Human Services Department about them specifically, spokesperson Meg Olberding responded, the city hadn't formally announced any other encampment opening beyond the Whittier Heights Women's Village. I asked for a specific answer about plans in North Seattle and South Lake Union. She said, a report is due to the council at the end of May that will lay out the city's next steps. So I asked again, is the city or is the city not reaching out to residents about potential future encampments in South Lake Union and at the site on Aurora Avenue, previously intended for the new North Precinct Police Station? And again, the city refused to provide a straight answer, saying instead, the mayor will have more to announce at the end of the month with her report on the Bridge to Housing for All.
This is so ridiculous. So I got a hold of a flyer that was given to some businesses, but not all, and not the general public, that was sent on Monday of last week. Now, one particular business in the area got a hold of it, and that's how I got a hold of it. So then I called the city, because on this flyer, they say there's going to be a meeting this week. And so I'm like, I went online. I couldn't find any meeting. I couldn't find this flyer anywhere. So I call the city of Seattle. They'd not heard of this meeting. They didn't know what I was talking about. And they said, okay, let me do some digging. Let me call you back in a bit. So 15 minutes or so later, they give me a call back. They say, I was just in touch with the mayor's office. They're not sure if this meeting is still going to happen, but check back to see if it is. I go, who do you want me to check back in? You didn't even know this meeting was scheduled to begin with. He goes, you just got to keep calling the mayor's office. No. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And I'm going to show up to that meeting. I think it's on Thursday. I'm going to show up. Maybe some of you can join me. And we can push back at this. Because what they're trying to do is they've already made up their mind. They've already come up with the program. They want to have the tiny house on this one particular parking lot in South Lake Union and another spot in Aurora of North Seattle. They've already decided they want to do that. And if it's also true that it's a low barrier household, I am staunchly against that. I'm someone who has lived directly across the street from a tent city. Okay? A sanctioned tent city. It was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. There was trash everywhere. There were people who were afraid to walk their dogs at night alone because of the element that gets attracted to these communities. And that whole thing about for like 2 weeks in a row, in the middle of the night, the dude screaming at the top of his lungs, the worst word that you can call a woman, every single day at 3:30 a.m. in my alleyway. And the first time, you thought it was kind of funny because it happened on a Friday night. And then it happened again and again and again. And my apologies to all the moms and dads out there with their kids right now. The kid turning to them saying, what's the worst word in the world you can call a woman? I apologize. But that's what he was doing. And that was not a low barrier tent city. This one might be. And they refuse. The city of Seattle is refusing to tell us about it. At some point, they'll say, well, now we want community input. Community input? You've already decided that you're going to put it there. And they thought that they were going to get away with this. But some people started to leak out this information from the city. That's how we found out. A leak from the city. Kip Bender lives in South Lake Union. He's not excited about this spot.
If I'm walking by and I feel like there's a whole other situation going on here, I don't know how well it'd sit, honestly. Because it is so close to businesses and so many apartments.
It is a block away from Lake Union. That's where they're putting this spot. I'm not to say, because I'm a fan in general of tiny homes, although not low barrier ones. But it all depends on where you put it. You're putting it in the middle of a community right next door to all of these restaurants and businesses, and you don't think it's going to impact them at all? This is directly across the street from a brand new apartment complex, an expensive one. You go one block to the west of that, you've got rows upon rows, blocks and blocks of restaurants, coffee shops, businesses, and high-end apartment complexes. By the way, one of which I live in. And you don't think it's going to impact the community at all. You don't think that it's worth, I don't know, asking our opinions before you decide to use this particular spot to say screw off to Amazon.com? That's not happening. I'll be showing up. I'll be Facebook Living it. So you can see me. That'll be fun, right? Me screaming at someone. I've got one of the lines in my head will be something. I'm your worst nightmare. I'm a member of the media who is also a member of the neighborhood. And I'm pissed. Is that good? Come on, that's a good line.
That's what you're going to say at the meeting?
I mean, I'm editing it out a little bit. Like, I'm going through in my head how it's going to work. In my head, I'm going to have free reign over the entire meeting because no one's going to show up because most people in the community don't know that this is happening. And I think I'm going to go like this once. I'm going to, if I have a lectern, I'm just going to slam my hand down. Enough is enough. Like something like that. That'd be fun. And we'll Facebook Live it.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth that we don't want your dumb policies to fix homelessness because they don't work. And I'm just going to storm out. I'll do a mic drop. And then I'll break the mic and they'll charge me for it. And they'll probably use that as a means to cancel the meeting because we don't have a microphone anymore. 1-800-465-8774. Your text messages. It's the Jason Rantz Show. Good morning, everybody. Live from the Online Trading Academy studio. It's the Jason Rantz Show on this Monday morning. Hope everyone had a wonderful Mother's Day yesterday. I don't celebrate Mother's Day on May 13th. You know why? You know why?
I mean, I have a theory. Well, you don't have a great relationship with your mother.
No, that's not it at all.
That's not the reason. Okay.
That's a disgusting slight against my character. I just happen to believe all the other days are important to celebrate your mom's.
Okay.
You only love your mom one day a year. I love your mom every other day of the year.
Okay.
Not my own mom. A 12-year-old autistic boy was arrested for playing with an imaginary rifle at his school in Texas. And the story gets worse. Because this kid ends up getting handcuffed, gets dragged out of the school, by the way, through the front entrance, so other kids, his peers, his classmates, saw him getting arrested and dragged out in handcuffs. They took him to a juvenile hall where he remained there for over 2 hours, all because some art teacher said she felt threatened because he was playing with his hands and pretending they were imaginary guns. I'm not entirely sure yet what this kid said because they're saying that he uttered something. But by all reports that I'm seeing, he was literally just playing with guns, but with his hands. Maybe because he pretended his hand was not a handgun, but a rifle. Maybe that was part of it. Kid's name is David. His mother's name is Amy. Here they are talking about what happened to Fox 26 News.
She just put handcuffs on me and told me that I needed to go with her.
Oh, he even has a little... He told me to go with her. That's so adorable. He's a victim here.
They just said, oh, we don't tolerate that. We take that as a threat. A threat? He didn't threaten anyone. He didn't do anything but play.
And the mom is all like, they didn't even tell me immediately what had happened.
Being put in handcuffs, not knowing what he did wrong, I could have had a talk with him and told him, look, you know, I know you like playing guns, but you can't do it in school.
This poor kid, in addition to living with autism, and so he's probably already ostracized by a lot of people who don't quite understand the way he communicates and the way he acts, now has to deal with this dumb, despicable art teacher who wants to pretend a kid who uses his hand as a rifle is somehow a significant threat to the campus community. And I love how they'll use what happened in Parkland or Sandy Hook or Columbine to mask their overreaction. Montgomery County Attorney J.D. Lambright, he says they've been getting a lot more calls about this kind of thing, and they're taking them really seriously.
Right after the Florida incident, we were getting two a day, three a day. And it wasn't isolated to any particular school. It's every school. We have six school districts in Montgomery County, and they were coming in across the county.
So in other words, we have a whole bunch of dumb, overreacting teachers and administrators across our county, across all of our school districts, who don't quite understand that a 12-year-old autistic boy or a 12-year-old boy or girl, regardless of whether or not they're on the spectrum, uses their fingers to point at other kids and other people and using them as a joke, as a gun. That's a serious threat. Shame on these people. Just shame on these people. It's such an overreaction. It's not even funny. Like, I want to be able to just laugh at this art teacher, who, by the way, they're not naming. They're protecting him or her. I'd love to just laugh at that absurdity. But the truth is, this poor kid had to suffer at the hands of that overreacting teacher. This kind of abject embarrassment. Now, they're not, they say, WTEE, David will likely not face charges as a result of his age and his disability. He will, however, be unable to return to the school and will attend a disciplinary school for the remainder of the year instead. How is this not an injustice? How is this not an injustice? You know what I suspect this is all about? This is a school that's not capable of dealing with a kid who has autism, and they don't want to deal with the kid because he has autism. So they were waiting there, waiting for him to do something like this, waiting for him to act out in a normal way that kids act out, use this as an excuse to go after him and kick him out of school. Just disgusting. I'd love to get your feedback. Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. KTTH Hotline is brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. Do not use the little emoji of the gun, because I find that threatening and it might trigger me. Pardon the pun. KTTH Hotline, 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. It seems clear that the voices that are against the Amazon head tax, which is being voted on today in the Seattle City Council, the voices against that reflect the community. You wouldn't think that, because Shama Sawant, the socialist city council member, will essentially bus in activists in the community to scream during their meetings. You would think that that is the voice of Seattle. But thankfully, Seattle is not as crazy. Now, I'm saying Seattle a lot because this is a direct tax in the city of Seattle, but this impacts everyone outside of Seattle, which is why it's so important for you to pay attention, particularly if you're in Tacoma or Bellevue or Bothell. It's incredibly important because this impacts you. Initially, positively, but long-term, potentially negatively. Strategies 360 did a poll for Cairo 7, a survey, study. And they asked a whole host of questions about this Amazon tax, which would tax employers, per employee per hour that they worked. And it would impact Amazon to the tune of basically $500 per employee, which leads them to pay an extra $20 million in local taxes every single year. They already pay $250 million. At least that's what they did in 2017. We're told they don't pay any taxes. They pay $250 million, according to the Seattle Times last year. And that's all local. And so there are three ideas that are out there. The main one, $500. The so-called compromise, that's $250. That one failed on Friday to get enough votes. And then the compromise to the compromise, which is $350, that has not yet been discussed in council. But every single one of them has majority of people opposing it. Just in the general sense as to whether or not, according to this survey, whether or not you support the head tax, 54% oppose. Only 38% are in favor. But then when you get into the specific one currently being debated that will pass today, it will get vetoed by Jenny Durkin, the mayor, and then they'll figure that out. But the $500 per employee, 70% oppose that plan. 70%. And yet you have five Seattle City Council members ignoring the will of the people. And for some reason, itching to go on the record in support of this deeply, deeply unpopular position. Then when you get to the $350 one, the compromise to the compromise, 65% disagree. Then when you get to the compromise that failed, 58% oppose it. And it seems like a big reason why they oppose this tax is because they do not trust the city to use the money wisely. 43%, by far the highest margin on the potential answers, 43% said they do not trust the city government at all to spend the money wisely. When it comes to the topic of homelessness, they know the city of Seattle doesn't know what in the hell it is doing. They were asked whether or not people should be allowed to live in tents on sidewalks or in RVs around Seattle. 54% said no. And yet that is the brand of the Seattle City Council. Park where you want, live where you want, camp out where you want. We'll ignore communities when we set up these tent cities. We'll hide data from people. We'll tax the hell out of individual companies, even if it ends up leading to low-income communities having the prices of their products raised. This council does not care, and they're moving forward anyway. And it is remarkable how out of touch these people are. But what's more remarkable, I think, is that they know they can get away with it, because this is not new. Michael Bryan isn't a freshman lawmaker. Shama Sawan isn't a freshman lawmaker. These are people who have been in power for a very long time. Michael Bryan in particular, Shama Sawant, this is her second term. But she's been there for years, and they keep getting put in office. The same people keep getting put in office, even if they're different names. They represent the same things. Lorena Gonzalez, her second term. Teresa Mosqueda, her first term. They believe all the crazy fringe beliefs that the council members previous to them believed. And Seattle keeps putting them in office. But for the first time since I've lived here, I've lived here for a very long time, and I've experienced some incredibly fringe, controversial positions. For the first time, it actually feels like the city and the voters are pushing back, and they're angry. You know what? They'll allow you to demonize Amazon because they get it. It's words. It's politics. But then when you actually go after a company like Amazon and hurt them, hurt a company that built Seattle, that's a little bit too far for these folks. There was a rally over the weekend that was not well attended when I was there. Started at 11. I didn't intend to go. I was just in the area. I was walking by. And I realized, oh, this is supposed to start at 11. So I showed up about 11:20, 11:15, something like that. About 100 people there. I mean, some of them were nice, the ones I spoke to. Some of them were crazy. You had people who were claiming if they lose, ultimately, this head tax, that they'll react in a way that I think is violent.
So today we stand up to the capitalists and demand a swift redistribution of their wealth to alleviate those most suffering. And if we don't happen to win a legislative victory with this EHT, we will take it by force. Because as we know, our power is in each other, the workers. We do not need the bosses, you guys. The bosses need us.
Well, then why don't you become a boss, first of all, right? We'll get to this take it by force, whatever the hell that means, in a second. But you do need the bosses, because the bosses are the ones that pay you. You understand that, right? This is a relationship that's reciprocal, that's voluntary. A boss who has lots of money says, you know what? I will pay you to provide this service for me. That service you provide me, I will then sell to the general public at a value that the market deems appropriate. Do you agree to take on this position for this amount of pay and this perk that we're offering you, 2 weeks paid vacation, whatever it happens to be? Yeah? Cool. If you say no, you know what happens? You don't get that paycheck from that boss that you claim you don't actually need. It is a reciprocal relationship. If there are people out there who are unwilling to do the job, the business would not exist. It's that simple. It's that simple. All these people, they go after boss. Then why don't you become a boss and run a company the way that you would deem appropriate? Take your social justice values. Take your progressive values and principles. Start your own company. Compete with Amazon. But you can't. Because you don't have any talent. Because you don't have any drive. You have lots of wants. Lots of desires. You want policies to be implemented that only you approve of, despite the fact that the majority of the city doesn't want them. But because you want it, you're supposed to get it. You want to redistribute wealth from people who've actually worked their tails off earning. Well, all you're doing, rather than being productive members of society, are bitching and moaning outside of a community college on a Saturday morning. It's alarming the lack of drive these people have with their own lives. When you look at what they're willing to do to convince other people to go along with their plans, their drive when it comes to how you and I should live and how businesses should be run, quite high. But when it comes to their own lives and bettering their own situation and learning more skills so that they can become more important in the workforce, it just doesn't exist. I'm a low-wage, low-skilled barista. Pay me $30 an hour so I could live more comfortably. How about you gain more skills so you can get a job that pays you more, that is of more value to your company, so that you can live more comfortably? No. I don't want to do the work. Well, then you don't get the pay. That pisses them off. That turns them into the monsters that they've become. Aided on by a council that wants to pretend that these folks represent Seattle. They do not. And when this head tax passes, and after it gets vetoed, and then they figure out what they're going to do, that compromise, whatever it may be, that is going to inspire councils all across Washington State. This will hit the Puyallup City Council, Tacoma City Council, Bellevue City Council, Everett City Council. This is going to hit every single city, whether we're talking about Marysville or Mukilteo. Once leaders find out how this is resolved, they will mimic it. And in the short term, companies will run away from Seattle because of what they're doing to business. But in the long term, when Tacoma City Council realizes, oh, we can get away with this too, they're going to implement it. It all hinges on what happens in Seattle, which is why you guys need to pay so much attention and actually get a little bit more involved than you have been in the past. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. So Jason Rancho, we're live in the Online Training Academy studio. Don't have that much time left in the show, but I wanted to spend some time on a topic we'll explore in greater detail on the After Show podcast, which you can subscribe to at ktth.com or just search Jason Rancho on iTunes. At this meeting or at this protest on Saturday that I went to, I made a point to talk to different people just to hear their perspective on things, because it's been a while since I've talked to the crazies. And one woman, her name was Violet, very nice woman. She handed me a pamphlet for Refuse Fascism, which is this organization that wants to fight against the Trump-Pence regime. And I don't normally play long clips, but I do want to play them in this case because it gives you an eye into what these people believe and how they vote, because they vote. They're organized in the Seattle area. These folks vote. And what I thought was particularly interesting is when I pushed them, this woman, to define fascism, she couldn't.
How do you define fascism in this context?
Fascism in this, you know, when fascism is actually consolidated, it's like the naked fist of capitalism or whatever on the people. No soft pedaling it, so they'll be stomping on the people. Right now, they're doing some hideous things with refugees.
Trump-Pence, you're saying?
Yeah, Trump-Pence.
I just want to start just from the baseline of how you define fascism.
I'm trying to think. I'm not good. Well, I'll read you this one.
Well, what are you trying to? We'll read it in a second, but first I'm curious what your take is.
Fascism is a system it's a system of rule of government, but not a system, not an economic system. So this system here that we have now currently has bourgeois democracy. Fascism would scrap all that as they are doing now, they would just be.
They're scrapping bourgeois democracy?
Yeah.
What is bourgeois democracy?
This is what we live under. Democracy, some people call it.
Okay. Have you heard that before, bourgeois democracy? I feel like I only started to hear that within the last week or so.
I've certainly heard the terms separately before.
I've heard the term democracy and bourgeois. I've heard that before.
Used in tandem, I guess not really. But I also think that the word bougie is just kind of getting thrown around a lot more.
Fair enough. And maybe they're picking up on the slang and adding it to democracy. But it seems clear from her response. She has no idea what fascism is. She doesn't know what it is. She can't define it. Fascism can be clearly and easily defined. I mean, I don't need the textbook definition. Just say authoritarianism that leads to the oppression of political dissent. Okay, just give me something like that. Along those lines, she couldn't do that. And yet, she is scared of Trump and Pence and their fascist regime. And I think it's important to understand, she may not be able to define fascism, but she can define her anger and her anxiety and her fear. And I think it behooves us to understand it a little bit more.
We're concerned because they are trying to or planning to implement fascism, and every day there's new examples of how they're doing that.
Give us one just from the last week.
Well, I've got two. The Iran.
Just real quick, she only gave me one.
Deal that he broke out of, which makes us much closer to war. In fact, you know,
is fascism. Like, I get you disagree, and lots of people on.
Well, so what he's doing is consolidating. He's getting rid of all the things that they don't like from the previous governments, and instituting like this really a lot of power in the executive department. And this is part of their, you know, they've got their ducks in a row with the foreign policies now that they've got their people in, like who's their people? Oh, like Scott Pruitt, like the
But he's EPA.
He's a fascist. He's a Christian fascist. He's been a fascist for a long time. So he's very much important to their system.
But not foreign policy is what I mean.
No, but it's part of the fascist takeover. Because who ever heard of anyone appointing a person that hates the EPA to be its head? I mean, that's fascistic.
But isn't your concern more that you just don't like their positions? It's not necessarily fascism, because nothing you've said, for example, is illegal. Right?
I don't care about the law, but...
I do care about the law
because they're undercutting the rule of law. They're undercutting it.
By appointing Scott Pruitt to the EPA?
Actions and proclamations and stuff. They're refusing... They stole a Supreme Court seat from Obama.
And then I did something bad. I tried to get her to name the guy, and she couldn't.
The Republicans did before they got their fascist conglomerate in power.
Which one?
The Supreme Court judge that is now that, forget his name, the latest one. That was Obama's appointment.
Okay. So their definition, once you actually ask them for details of their concerns, their definition of fascism is simply an elected president who takes positions that they don't like. That's what they mean when they say fascist. Because this whole idea of President Trump getting rid of some of the policies of Obama is no different than Obama going into office and getting rid of some of the policies of the Bush administration. He lacks marijuana enforcement. He lifted the ban on embryonic stem cell research. He funded international organizations that provided abortion. He stopped using the terms war on terror. He tried to close Gitmo. All of that was in direct opposition to the policies that were instituted under George W. Bush. And yet I don't think that they would call Obama fascistic. Now, on the one hand, it's funny because she comes from this position of just a lack of information. She is not an informed person on this. Maybe she was nervous. Nah, she just doesn't know what she's talking about. And so part of me wants to laugh, but the other part of me wants to cry a little bit. Because she votes. She's the person that you're up against. And there are lots of people who choose not to vote for whatever reason, particularly in King County, but in Washington State as a whole. Part of that is laziness. Part of that is you're just not happy with the Republican offerings. Some of that is that you don't think you're going to make a difference because there are a lot of women like that who exist here who are going to vote. And part of me understands, but man, can we at least not allow her to have total control over the state of Washington? Because that's a scary place to live in. It's the Jason Rand Show.